All right, we're back. Week 13. Brent, it's not the sexiest schedule. Brent Rollins, by the way, rivals PFF every week. But I think there's a lot of games, man, that are really going to be good games and that I think are going to be close-scoring games. Obviously, there's one that's a headliner that's going to affect the playoff the most, but I think there's others that we can talk about, too, that have playoff implications. But
Indiana, the timing is good, by the way.
The what's good?
When you the timing. Like when you look at Ohio State, Indiana, you got them at noon. You got the other ranked game, BYU, Arizona State at 3:30, and then Notre Dame and Army at 7:30. And then the other good, like there's windows for each one where you can enjoy and maybe catch another game, flip back and forth, that kind of thing.
Enjoy the pleasure. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's always fun. That's a part of the four box too. Like being able to have a couple good games is dope. But when you start with Indiana and you start with Ohio State, troubling news out of Columbus this week. When you look at their offensive line, the left tackle Simmons gets hurt early in the season, made a big difference. Their EPA, all the stuff, got worse, you know, as from that standpoint, everything was a struggle after that point with their offense. Now you lose your center. The good thing about Ohio State is their left guard played center a year ago. Now he'll move from left guard to center. But everybody, again, shuffling, playing out of position against an Indiana front. If you haven't been watching, one of the strengths of their team is their defensive front. Like, they are very good. They stop the run at an elite level, one of the best in the country. They get after the passer at an elite level. With Ohio State being banged up, with Indiana's stunts, twists, movement all over the place, man, I think it's a recipe for them to have some success. Indiana has been good against everybody they've played. Do you, Mr. Brent Rollins, expect the same against Ohio State's offense?
Only if the offensive line becomes that big of an issue. Because it wasn't great against Penn State. It was obviously really bad against Nebraska. But like Kamara, you mentioned for Indiana. In Big Ten play in the last six games.
He's a dude.
Yes. Last six games, 38 in the Big Ten play, 38 QB pressure, 6 sacks, just dominating week after week,
yep.
And they're one guy. And that's the thing with Will Howard is he's not been great against pressure. But these last 2 weeks have been kind of get-right games. He's had over a 90 PFF passing grade the last 2 weeks, first time in his career. And he's now second in the Power 4 in big-time throw percentage. So he's consistently making elite throws now. So can they do that? Pressure him? I don't know. I TBD. I'm not confident in that.
When you watch this game, I think the key to Ohio State's success will be Ohio State running the ball on the perimeter. I think Ohio State can do that. I think you will see them do that. Will Howard's feet, you got to remember, he's a really good athlete. He's a big, strong dude. They can get involved. Like, I think Chip Kelly's exacerbated every leak play known to man in the country. So if he can come up with another one, he continues to manufacture offense and big plays. And don't forget, Abuka and Jeremiah Smith, they're elite playmakers on the outside. And they can win. They can win in contested situation. They can win with speed. They can win deep. So there's a lot of playmakers. But I'm really curious to see the other side because Indiana scored at least 30 points in every game but the Michigan game. That's the best defense that they've played. Rourke has the highest passing grade. Speaking of Mr. PFF,
yes.
He has the highest passing grade. Indiana's receivers, by the way, their grade is like a 90-something. They're elite across the board in every category. I mean, they really have an elite offense with a trigger man in Rourke that can get the ball out. This Ohio State defense is legit. Brent, I'm watching them again. I think you've got at least 9. I might go 10. I might go 11 of these guys that are going to get drafted. Like these Ohio State guys, they're talented. They're Sunday players. There's not a lot that sticks out, I think, from a number standpoint of one guy, but I think the unit is so good and so experienced and good across the board. I'd say Burkett corner is a little bit
iffy. Except for him.
Burke is a little bit iffy at corner, especially in the Oregon game. Igbinaya, whatever his name is, number one, that long name. He's handsy. They're both handsy. But I think that's the spot Indiana has to be able to pick. But I'm just telling you, man, that Ohio State defense is littered with a bunch of dudes that can play some serious football.
It's Burke. You mentioned Burke. This season has allowed 84% completion. Last season was 52% against Oregon. 8 of 8. Sir, 8 receptions, 8 targets, 179 yards, 2 touchdowns. They attacked him. And it's been consistent recently. But Ohio State has been pressuring the QB. Over 45% pressure rate the last 3 weeks. If they get to work, I think they will. And I think that Indiana struggles a little bit on third down, and because they're only 6 of 21 in the last 2 games in third down. They're going to have to make big plays.
Say it,
and
Brent.
Surratt.
I want you to say it. I want a score prediction because I don't want the snarky Brent to come back and say, I didn't think Indiana could play with Ohio State. Can Indiana keep this game close, or are they going to be the gum on the bottom of Ohio State's shoe? I want you to say it with your chest.
Well, so here's the problem with that. I think there's a world where Ryan Day gets up 24-7 and just says, all right, I'm just going to kind of cruise, put it on cruise control here. Let's keep Indiana close. Let's take care of our Big Ten brethren and
keep it,
as opposed to blowing the brakes off of them. Ohio State's kind of, it seems like they've played that way where they've not just throttled teams all year.
They play with their food, like you're saying?
Yeah, they just kind of hang, just coast almost is what it seems like watching them. So that's a thing, I think.
I'll say this, Brent, because I don't need any syrup with my wall for Mr. Ryan Day, whatever you were just saying right there. I think this is a really, really good game. I think this is a 31-21, 31-24 game. I think Indiana, when you look at their defensive front, if you haven't watched them, I think you're missing out. Like, they've got several guys along the front with experience that are physical, that know how to move, that can cause problems. I think this is a game in the fourth quarter. I think Indiana might even have a chance to win this football game. And I think with that, I think they'll punch a ticket whether they win or whether they lose. I'll take Ohio State 31-24. I'll give you that score. Okay. But I do think Indiana is going to hang close, and that should be enough to get them in the college football playoff.
So you mentioned the if they lose part. So I look because there's been, we've had 3 weeks now of rankings. And over the first 2 weeks, there have been 5 losses from teams in the top 15. BYU, or let's see, week one, Miami loss went from 4 to 9.
Yep.
Georgia loss went from 3 to 12.
8 spots.
Biggest drop. BYU, 6 to 14.
Yep.
Tennessee, 7 to 11. And then LSU was 15th, and they went to 22nd. So Georgia's drop from 3 to 12 is the biggest of any of those losses. BYU last week at 8. What do you think in terms of drop for Indiana if they do lose?
I think
are they still in the top 10?
Yeah, but I'm 100% on board. I've already thought about that in my head. Is like, what is the committee looking at? They're willing to move people and drop them like crazy. And obviously, Georgia had a good loss. I mean, that's not like Georgia had a really bad loss. So that's why it's important for Indiana to stay close. BYU, even this is what makes my head hurt, and this is what ticks me off. And I don't like to get ticked off. I want to be calm.
Stay positive.
I want to be level-headed. I want to say this committee knows what they're doing. But, like, Brent, I have nothing for you. I'm a compassionate person. I try to be compassionate. You saw BYU beat SMU. You saw that. Like, what are we doing? I get it. I can look at BYU and I can point out their deficiencies and I can point out where they struggle and I can point out that they don't have elite athletic ability on the perimeter and they can get exposed at linebacker. I don't think their offensive line is elite. I think their quarterback's playing really good. They beat SMU on the field. Like, let's not make this really complicated. Like, that's the kind of stuff that makes my head hurt. It makes me want to boil. I know the committee. It's a base or treble thing. Do you like the legs or do you like the other area? Like, I get it. I understand that. But that kind of stuff that's really concrete, it just ticks me off. I'm like, you don't have to complicate things that hard. I'm done. I'm not going to lose any more. Like, I'm not going to lose any more ticked offness on any of this crap. Get me to the next game. Where do you want to go
speaking
next?
Speaking of BYU, at Arizona State, which, by the way, they are an underdog now at Arizona State, which I watched.
Should be.
I actually was – yes, they should be. I stayed up and watched the end of the BYU game. At the very end of that game was just gross. Like, they took the ball out of Restlaw's hands till fourth down. I was like, what are you doing? Put the ball in the QB's hands. Let him make throw and run decisions. And it was just, all right, run the ball. Okay, speed option. Then we're going to let him throw the ball on fourth down. So that was tough to watch at the end of that game because that obviously was at home. But for Arizona State, their big three, Leavitt, Scadabo, and then Jordan Tyson, that receiver.
Tyson's been balling.
Missed. He was a Colorado in 2022, transferred, yep. Missed the year last year with a knee injury, back this year, has 90 targets. The next guy most targeted on their team is Scadabo with 37. So he is their guy. They have a true big three. This is who the ball is going through. Go stop it.
Yeah. And if you watch Arizona State, and again, I've been a big Dillingham fan. Like, I have been since he was at Oregon. I just love him. He was a young guy with energy. I remember meeting him at game day, and he just – there's something about him that I really liked, and I like the way he creates offense. And he's an easy guy to cheer for, but also his quarterback, Sam Leavitt. They've won five out of the last six, Brent. The only game they lost was when he didn't play.
Right.
Like, that's the reason why. He's a freshman. He's only going to get better. But you're right. It's 0-4-10. Like, those are the three guys that – you consistently point to. Scadabo is a baller. Like, he totes rock. He runs angry. I think he was worn the flip out because they leaned on him so much early, and he got dinged up, and now he's getting back healthy, just an animal. And you're right, Tyson, last five games, over 100 yards averaging. Like, he's going to make plays, six touchdowns. Like, this is an offense that I trust. When I look at BYU, I don't trust BYU's offense. Like, I think they want to be running game with Martin and Hammer, and Redslack needs to get involved in that for that to be really good because they're not elite up front. But then when you get in the playmaking area, like, here's the problem, though. And this is why styles make fights, and this is why you don't go, Arizona State's going to kill BYU. Arizona State does not have a guy that I fear when I watch them rush the passer. Like, they're not elite at it, Brent. They're not a great pass rush team. So Redslack, like when I watch him play, though, I think he's really good and he's calm when you don't pressure him. But when he does get pressured, he becomes very frantic. And you see, listen, he ain't alone. Most quarterbacks are like that. So I trust Arizona State's big three, like you talked about, more. But I think this is another. There's going to be every game we talk about tonight, I think it's going to be close. I think this one's going to be super close. I wrote down 35-31. I think is what I wrote down for this game. Like,
home
high
game.
Scoring.
Being
pretty
at home,
good,
I think will matter.
Back and forth, but I trust Arizona State's big three more than I trust Martin and Retzlaff.
Yeah, it's
Retzlaff. I screwed that up five times.
Right. Dillingham, you talked about, like, he was a high school coach when he was a college student. I was looking at his background; it was fun to read.
He looks like he's 12. He does. He looked like he's very, very young. Awesome dude, though.
All right, so go Army beat Navy for you there.
Thanks,
in Yankee Skippy. Stadium. The Irish are two touchdown favorites. Bryson Daly, one less game played, but still has 53 more rushing attempts than anybody on the team.
Yeah.
It's his offense.
Is
this Navy 2.0, Notre Dame versus Navy, or is this a little different?
Beat down. This is the one I don't think is close. I really like Notre Dame, man. I like how Notre Dame has done this and consistently done this. A lot of youth on the offensive side of the football, on the offensive line. Defense, you saw splotches early and times early, but really consistently the last several weeks. They're a physical group up front. They stop the run, especially. Army wants to run a lot. They've already seen Navy in the option. I don't see how this is close because – when you match up the other side, man, it's just too much to ask. It's too much to ask for Army defensive line man for man when they're outweighed so much, outsized, outmassed, out-athletic ability everywhere across the board. I don't think this one's close. Honestly, I feel bad saying this because Army is a part of our country and I love Army. I don't know why Army's ranked. They ain't beat a soul. There's nobody that they've beat in their strength of schedule. I don't know that they've beaten anybody with a winning record yet. Like,
I say, North Texas Army's had one, good, but maybe not anymore. But yes, that's right.
Yeah, I don't think that Army's great. I do think Notre Dame. Listen, I know they had the NIU game, and that people point to that, and they lost to them. Since that point, I think they've figured their offense out a lot more, and they figured out who they are more. I will take Notre Dame. I think this will be a club to the cranium.
All right, so here, since the 7-point win versus Louisville, Notre Dame is 33.4 points per game average margin of victory. Do they get above that?
Ooh, above 33?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's what their average margin of victory is since they beat Louisville.
That's a lot.
I don't think it's that much.
Just because that's a shoot ton, but when they club Navy would have thought the same thing.
Well, also, I don't think you can count on 6 turnovers like they got against Navy. So, all right. So the next sort of group of games, I'm actually going to go time blocks here and let you pick one that is the most intriguing that you might sort of flip to.
I only get
outside
one?
Of the other.
Jeez.
Well, one out of two for each time block. So the first at noon, we got Ole Miss at Florida or SMU at Virginia. Which of these is interesting to you?
Give me Ole Miss at Florida. I'm here for this. Here's what, again, styles make fights, all that fun stuff. Have you thought about this? I think that Florida beat Ole Miss's two losses by almost 40 points, by 39 yes. points, I think.
Drummed Kentucky, beat LSU.
They drummed Kentucky and drummed LSU. So I'm just going to point that out. They have common opponents that they've already played. I love what I've seen from Florida. Like we were way ahead of that, by the way. We were way ahead of yes. Nick and all those guys on game day talking about it. Like, I love the way they've done a great job of continuing to compete. Next guy up, haven't lost faith. I think that the quarterback spot last week with Lagway coming back, dude, this dude is fun to watch, and I tell you why. Okay, here's my Lagway comparison. DJ Lagway is Jalen Milroe. He's not Jalen Milroe the runner because he's not that guy. He is absolutely Jalen Milroe the passer. Elite bombs, elite yes. arm talent, big play machine. You give him a crease down the field, the dude will deliver it. It gets there in a hurry. It is gorgeous.
It's flick. Very
middle
easy
of the field,
too.
Intermediate, that stuff, going through progressions, not there. He is not athletically where he's going to be because he's hurt. He's still – last week you could tell the dude hung in the pocket the whole time. He was inaccurate at times, but he gave it a try for his daggone people. And I think that he won the game for them, making big plays down the field. He can do that. So interested to watch. Ole Miss's pass rush is really, really good. Like they're gonna hit him. They're going to get yeah. to him. His escapability might be a problem. But yeah. I just like comparing those – common opponents sometimes and being able to say, oh, did they play each other? Yeah, they did. Oh, look at that over there. Florida beat the two teams Ole Miss lost to.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the question of the game is, can Lagway survive it? Can he stay healthy enough? Can he not get hit? That sort of thing. Can they protect him? But also, I saw where Trey Harris is expected to return. You know, when you think about Ole Miss and everybody's kind of dark horse, you know, pick as a win the whole thing, they're getting back their best offensive player. Outside of, you know, their best playmaker on the outside.
And it's been fun to watch Caden Lee and Jordan Watkins and Daquan Wright. Like, they've held it down without yep. a running game. Like, Ole Miss doesn't really try to run the football anymore because they're not very good at it. And Lane ain't going to waste time. And no. Lane's going to throw the football. And even you saw in the Georgia game, backup quarterback, what is he going to do? Throw the flipping football. Like, that's what he is going to do. They're a better pass-blocking unit up front than they are yes. run-blocking. He doesn't want to waste plays. He'll run Jackson Dart some. He'll do the trick him over here, look over here, slap you in the face over here, pop passes to the tight end. But that would be a big deal, I mean, to get him back because he's an animal. He's one of the best players in the country, period. So, you know, Harris, come if he can come back and he can contribute, they've kind of found a way to win without him. So that's a big one for me in that time slot.
All right, so the next time slot we got – 3:30, we got Penn State at Minnesota, a high of 37 degrees in Minnesota. And then Colorado at Kansas, coming off two straight ranked wins. And Jalen Daniels, by the way, who is number one in the Power Four in that big-time throw percentage, making big-time plays.
Give me the Buffs and the Jayhawks, baby. I think this is going to be a great game. I wrote down 38-35. I think it's going to be back and forth. I think it's going to be awesome. You said Jaden Daniels. I love that you said he Jaylen. Makes plays, Brent.
Jaylen,
he also makes forget. Mistakes. And he also is the guy that is asked to do a lot. Neal is an elite running back. That dude is a baller. Like, he is tough. He is physical. They couldn't run the football last week. Jaden made the one mistake late in the game, but like, he was pretty good, pretty solid. His feet, his ability to buy time, make plays is huge. If you haven't been watching Colorado and you think about Colorado a year ago, this isn't the same defense. Way more organized, way more structured. Walker and Green have been rushing the flipping passer. Like, they pin their ears back. They go. They know what they're doing. By the way, you know where Green's from?
I do.
Where's he from?
Right down the street from us.
You know who worked with him in high school?
Probably some guy named Mr. Pollock.
Your boy did. Like, that guy, I tell you what, man, it's been fun to watch because you watched him in high
school. He was undersized at Prince. He was a little undersized and has just kind of grown and developed over the time.
I mean, he transferred from McEachern, I think, but like 260 pounds, looked good, quick, strong. Like, he's really done a great job at Colorado from right down the road, literally. But their pass rush is better. And listen, we could talk about Shador in the offense. They're good. But I do think, and I'll give it to you, I do think Kansas defensively can give them some problems. Kansas rushes the passer well. The secondary's pretty good. Like, I watch them consistently. They're pretty good. Five of their six losses have been by less than a touchdown. Like, they're in every game, so don't look at Kansas like they're some kind of humpy, and that's why they won a week ago. But Kansas will be in this game. It's another one. I think Kansas will be in this game till the end.
Yeah, I think this is – I would almost venture to say that Kansas takes this game. But it's Jaylen Daniels, by the way, not Jaden. You're thinking of an LSU, Mister. You're thinking about fantasy football with your. Is he on your team?
He's pretty good. He's been struggling the last several weeks. Hey, he got that rib injury, man, and he's been running less, and it's really killing my fantasy team. But yeah, Jaylen Daniels. Brent likes the Jayhawks. I tell you what, I'm riding the Colorado train, man. I've been impressed. I think Shador and those athletes and the QB play. I think Shador has the advantage over Daniels. I think Daniels has been struggling. I think he makes great plays, but I think he makes mistakes. I think it'll be easier with Shador's weapons than it will be with Daniels.
Yeah, that's the thing about that people forget about Colorado is it's not just Hunter. I mean, Will Shepard was one of the better receivers in the SEC at Vandy, so you know, they've got players there on the outside. All right, last window, night window, two SEC games, Alabama at Oklahoma or A&M at Auburn.
A&M and Auburn. I mean, I'm definitely going to be dialing into A&M in the perfect bad spot. And I say that, what's next week?
Trap Brad? Game. Texas at home.
Texas is next week. Everybody thinks Auburn sucks. If you've been to Auburn, it's one of the toughest places in the world to play. I don't know that they'll be that jacked up and that excited to be there. But Auburn has been pretty competitive. Almost, they've been very competitive in almost every single game. And if Auburn plays a good game and doesn't turn the football over, they're very much right in this football game, right in the mix. So I would not want to be A&M. I know A&M's far more talented. The defensive line is good, and we could go through Scorton and company and those guys. But Auburn, with absolutely nothing to lose at home, I just think this is a scary spot, and I fully expect this game to be close, Brent.
Yeah, it feels like Hugh Freeze and Auburn gets one of the next 2 weeks. Now, next week is at Alabama, so
not happening.
The home game is more so likely, but I will say this, when interacting with the Texas A&M and then Texas fans through the Georgia game and stuff I do with Georgia, there is like absolute hate between those two fan bases, Texas and Texas A&M. They beyond hate.
Pure disdain.
Like, just
– it's very –
you're
very
from another
similar,
world if you're there.
It's very similar to being a – and I'm just going to give you this analogy. I'm not going to tell you who's on whose side. Very similar to Michigan State. It's got that feel, I promise, where one feels a little bit more slighted than the other, Brent. I'm not going to tell you which one.
No, people can figure that one out. I like actually – I think I'm going to tune in a lot into the Oklahoma-Bama game because Oklahoma – has played good defensively. And yes, they're coming off a bye week. Can they make keep this game close? Can they slow down Milroe? Does DeBoer kind of throttle down Jalen Milroe getting preparing for what's coming up, or does he throttle up and make him run more? I don't know. We'll see. But I think Oklahoma plays well defensively and keeps that game maybe a little lower scoring.
I mean, congratulations. Oklahoma always plays good defensively. But, Brent, they have to play offense.
After a bye week, that's what I said. After a bye week, Jackson Arnold actually maybe completes a few passes.
And I tell you what, one guy to look out for, and I wrote this guy down last week because I was watching, and this is in the Auburn game, Cam Coleman. Like,
receiver.
He was a highly recruited freshman kid to go to Auburn. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a hundo last week, and that dude looks like a dude. He looks like he's coming into his own, and I hate to say this and I hate to do this, but you're like, if you put him with a really good quarterback, what kind of numbers would he put up? And there's probably a lot of people across the country going, Mr. Coleman, are you going to be available?
DM.
Because tall, long. So watch number 8, man. Like, he is – he's got that guy. He's that guy on the outside for Auburn that can win. Auburn in a spoiler role. Texas in A&M in a look-ahead role. Like, this could be a recipe where you get something really, really fun if Auburn can get out of its own way. Because, my gosh, Brent, have I just watched everything with Auburn this year. Like, if you can name a way to lose, by God, they found it. I mean,
Oklahoma too, by the way. I mean,
yeah.
Oklahoma, them too, with the one last week in Missouri, or a couple weeks ago in Missouri. All right, last couple things. Where are you at with the Heisman at the moment? You have a vote. What's your kind of top of your pecking order looking like?
You know, it's interesting. And I definitely got to do more research, and I'm going to continue to look down the stretch. But Travis Hunter's talked about a ton. I'm not there yet with Travis Hunter. Ashton Jeanty hasn't had a chance against elite competition to do it over and over again. It's going to be really hard, I think, for people to pull the trigger on a guy from the Mountain West, quote-unquote the Mountain West, like a smaller conference outside the Power Four week in and week out to do it. I think he'd have to approach like those stupid single-season records of, 2,200-plus yards, something like totally asinine that we've very rarely seen. And Dylan Gabriel came back down to earth a little bit last week. He didn't play a great game. So I think it's on the table with all of those guys to somebody to win it. But this feels like a year for voter purposes and what I've seen in the past. The closer you get to the end of the season without a clear front runner, who makes the big moment, man?
Yeah,
like, who makes the big play, the big moment in the Big Ten championship game, in the Big 12 championship game? Like, it feels very much. Does Ashton do something stupid in the championship game and go for 250? Like, I think the closing arguments, Mr. Brent Rollins, PhD doc, like, who makes the closing arguments in the last week or the last 2 weeks of the season, I think is going to carry that statue home.
I want to say, do they always say, hey, that 25% of the votes come in, and do they talk about – I can't remember. I feel like in the past –
yeah, they show that.
They've shown those numbers, and I would bet a lot of people were sort of holding back on that and not doing the absentee ballot. They're going to wait and file one at the end. So speaking of Oregon, by the way, did you see the sort of cinema thing they put together for the Wisconsin game? All right, you got to go watch this.
Dan Lanning's the best.
So did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay, because the jump around all week, and then them embracing jump around in the fourth quarter, that was fantastic to watch.
I mean, it was very fantastic, but I would obviously, if they'd have played a lot better, it'd have been even cooler.
Yes.
I mean, when you embrace things like that, it's fine, but it's just like playing crowd noise. If you go out and suck, like, it's not as cool. But I think you see more and more creativity, like, to make football more fun and to get moments and stuff. Like, these coaches have to do – look at Kirby. Kirby did a great job this week of – if you didn't
Thorson.
See it, he brought in Thorson. He said he was bringing in a tackling specialist, and he brings in Thorson, and Thorson comes up, and he comes down, like, just lights on him, looking like a pro wrestler, and comes up to the front and just starts spitting on the mic because that dude's funny as crap.
Yes.
And talking about how you got to do this to tackle and do this to tackle. And so Yeah, I think it's – I love the creativity. I love the pettiness on social media. I love the social media teams that that show the fireworks and the different shows and the different settings.
There's your boy
get
right
you
there.
Some of that Thorson right there. If that doesn't spell athlete for you right there,
yes.
I don't know what does. Those of you that aren't watching, you're missing out on just a fine specimen of a human being.
Hey, that was a phenomenal tackle he made. That's for darn sure. Saved the touchdown.
Quite possibly could have saved the game.
Yes. Last question, and then I think we'll let you roll. We'll get out of here. If the rankings were flipped in terms of the matchups, and you had Notre Dame going to Alabama, and you had Penn State going to Georgia, and you had Indiana going to Ole Miss, would people be a little bit kind of not as mad? Because it feels like those might be the matchups anyway. You just flip the order.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people are mad. I will say that. It's very.
Yeah. But do you think? I think people rightfully can be upset, because you're kind of confused at some things. We talked. I'm not going to revisit the BYU SMU because I'm going to lose my mind again. I think you could. Here's the thing, it's going to be interesting with the weather and how that plays into it. But if you're following those two lost teams, you know, that are going to be in a logjam too, it's pretty clear to me, Brent, after another day of looking at it, like strength of record matters. Like that's always been a thing of that the committee looked at. Like I don't know why, but I think it's passed down. But I remember hearing – I've talked to people that were on the committee in years past and like strength of record, strength of record, strength of record. It's a subject that's talked about. It makes a lot of sense for Tennessee. You know, you look at Tennessee – they got to win against Alabama. They don't have much else. So because of that, you know, that's why I think Tennessee's so low in the strength of record. Alabama's got the best. And because of that, they're the highest ranked two loss. And then Ole Miss and Georgia. So I think, you know, those are the kind of things that we can also glean from the committee with what they've done that we can pay attention to, because apparently head-to-head means jack crap. So might as well look at strength of record, guys.
Game control, which basically is who did you play and how bad did you beat them?
That metric a few years ago when they kept using it, game control, it basically means how much was the
margin
game
of victory
while you played? Like, were you dominating the football game? So more analytics for you to throw into the mix. But hey, man, this is what's cool about this week. You know, we get the Indiana question answered. Big 12, huge showdowns in the Big...
A little clearer.
Yeah, a little clearer. Huge showdowns in the Big 12. I think we'll have more clarity about the Big 12 after this weekend, so we have moving forward. And then is there a trip up with one of these two-loss SEC teams that you can see with Ole Miss, with a Florida A&M. Team? I don't think Ole Miss is going to lose to Mississippi State, even with all that on the line. I think if they lose, it's Florida. And then the other game we talked about was A&M. Like, right. A&M... at Auburn, you know, those are trap games to look ahead for this weekend. And again, if you're one of those teams that is fighting desperately to get in, a Tennessee, bro, you've got to do your best and put your Gator hat on. Tennessee, I know you hate Florida. You got to be doing the chomp. You got to be going to work. A&M, I know good and well you don't want to look. You don't want A&M. Or I know you don't like Texas. You don't like Auburn. Like, nobody likes Auburn, probably. Like, they're not cheering for Auburn when you're rivals and you're in the SEC. But if you're that other team and you're Tennessee,
if you're a Texas fan,
you're cheering for them. If you're Ole Miss, you're cheering for them. If you're Georgia, you're cheering for them. I know it's weird, but your allegiance should be to your school getting in the playoff. That's the most important thing. So you're going to have to stretch that cheering mechanism a little further.
Love, hate.
Love, hate. We will be back here Saturday talking more football, man. Just all football, not a lot of nonsense. That's why I love having Brent with me. Talk a lot of numbers, talk a lot of things, but recap Saturday, and we'll have a clearer picture of what the heck is going to go on in college football. Thank y'all for joining us.